May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 396. Could the creatures help or ease us, seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. 396.
Let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, and also Romans, chapter 10. Isaiah, chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us also read, friends, in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. In this chapter, as in the heading of my Bible, it is upon the great favour of God, in that salvation is open to all believers. That's what it says at the head of my page of my Bible. We know the previous chapter is much upon the rejection of the Jews. But oh, that we might know this desire that Paul had. I hope we have it, us ministers and each of you really. The 10th chapter in Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord, thou knowest who we are, each one of us, thou seest us through and through. Thou knowest and beholdest the thoughts and intents of our heart. And as we venture once more to approach thee, the great God, we are trembling because we are aware that thou dost see us through and through. O Lord, thou knowest how we've got evil hearts of unbelief, and thou knowest exactly to what degree our old natural wicked heart is effective in regulating us, leading us, prompting us. Oh, we do beg, Lord, grace, sovereign grace, may subdue it. Oh, that we might have the influence of the Spirit in us. Oh, that thou wouldst lead us and teach us, Lord, tonight by thy Spirit. Oh, that thou wouldst subdue the monstrous host that dwells within, that cursed train of unbelief and sin. Lord, this is a great trouble to us. Lord, also we know, as we have been reading regarding Israel, as the apostle was exercised for Israel, how he was one of Israel, and in his old nature persecuted the church. Lord, knew something of the great folly of the sad state of many religious people in dead religion. Oh Lord, and how we read in that previous chapter, how there were so many that stumbled at that stumbling stone. Oh Lord, thyself was as that stumbling stone, that rock of offence. But oh, there were those who were brought to believe in thee. And that stumbling stone which was to them in their old nature and their unregeneracy became the head of the corner. Oh Lord, oh, we beg of thee tonight that thou wilt favour us to know we are alive by grace, we are in the way, and oh, that Lord, thou wouldst lead us on in the way, lead us in the way everlasting, save us from our old nature, save us from the treachery of Satan in our wicked heart working, operating there. Oh, subdue the old nature. May grace reign. Come, Lord, and reign o'er us as King and accomplish thy will. Thou knowest how we were having to consider this morning solemnly our state and condition, and how we have to be brought and had to be brought in this past week into solemn feeling of guilt and sorrow. Oh, but Lord, mercifully thou hast, we trust, brought us, some of us, to repentance and to know thy restoring. We pray for it, Lord, for our friends. We pray, Lord, that thy people may know that favour, be earnest in seeking it. May they have the prayer of faith to believe that they will have the petitions they ask in seeking thee. Oh, that thou wouldst restore them, thou wouldst return, that thou wouldst come again, that thou would renew former mercies, former favours. Oh, that thou wouldst bless souls in these ways. We are sure there are those among the friends here who are labouring, mourning in sorrow, and feel the loss of thy presence, feel that loss and mourn like one whose comfort's gone. Lord, do return, do come again to them. And oh, we beg that we might know and they might know the favour to call upon the name of the Lord, to call upon our God, to believe and call believing thou art able. Oh, to beg of thee to return, O heavenly dove, return, sweet messenger of grace. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast, sweet messenger of peace. Oh, do return, Lord, to us. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Visit us with thy free spirit, Lord, visit me. Oh, we know it as a personal matter. And we pray, Lord, that the friends here that know it as such might know the wonderful favour of thy restoring. And oh, that favour, Lord, that we might be granted that special favour of faith to believe unto righteousness. Oh Lord, this is what we so much need. Oh, may unbelief be gone. Oh, do so draw near, Lord, and come. May faith be active in the Lamb once slain. Oh, we might behold the Lamb of God. Fall before thee like we sing, Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. Oh, to know this favour. Do come then, Lord, we beg, to us poor sinners, poor hell-deserving sinners. Oh, us poor wretched sinners, who knoweth how we read of the apostle crying out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Lord, thou knowest he did know who should, who would. And we believe the dear people here who feel this too, they know who can deliver. They know they weren't able to deliver. And oh, is not this a blessed reality of believing? Oh, do raise faith to a flame. Oh, that it might not just be a spark, but that we might have strong faith to enable us to believe. Oh, to believe to the saving of our souls. We know the blessing of the Lord comes with true believing. Oh, to know it tonight. To believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, may souls here know it personally. May we know it as a people together here. Oh, may we feel it as the favour of the atmosphere of heaven. Oh, Lord, come and enter thyself and stand in the midst of the cause here, Lord. Come and stand in the midst. Oh, may we see thee by faith as thou didst actually, literally come among thy disciples when they was here on earth and say, peace be unto you. And Lord, how they felt that holy peace, how they had that holy joy with the favour of thy presence. Lord, thy favour is that, oh, thy presence brings fullness of joy. And Lord, we know it is in prospect given to thy people. But Lord, there must be the favour known of experiencing it here in the pilgrimage. Oh, if we do not know thee here in the pilgrimage, we cannot expect to know thee in eternity to come. Oh, to know thee, to know my Jesus crucified. Thy fire excels all things beside. Oh, Lord, do come then and favour souls. Oh, thou knowest ere we do pray and beg, we earnestly desire that thou wilt bless souls, favour souls. Thou dost give us, Lord, the burden that we carry as we come before the people for the good of their souls. Lord, we pray for it now as we carry it. Oh, that thy people may know that favour, thee coming to them to bless them, to deal with them, to teach them, to set them at liberty, to set burdened sinners free. Oh, they might know that deliverance from the snare of the fowler. Oh, that being saved from his snare. Oh, to know that favour of thy presence and unbelief gone. Lord, oh, the favour, true believing, bless souls with it. We beg of thee, Lord, together I beg of thee now. Thou wilt so bless souls and get to thyself honour and glory. Oh, we would ever remember and beg, asking with a single eye to thy glory, Lord. We do hope thou hast taught us this. We trust we have learned it well, that thy wonderful purpose will be that thou wilt so exercise thy people to have a single eye to thy glory. No, as sweetly one put it, as the benefit is ours, be all the glory thine. May we have this in the true reality of it, Lord. Oh, do so bless souls. Oh, favour them. Oh, bless souls for eternity. Oh, do something here tonight for eternity, Lord. Oh, Lord, do so work. Oh, may there be such a seal in the work and operation of the Spirit upon the souls of the people. Oh, that they may have that wonderful seal for time and eternity of the love of God. Oh, to know thy love, Lord, shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. The dear deacon has prayed that we might be able to preach and tell of thy love. Oh, that we might be able to extol thee and preach on the love of Christ, the redeeming love of Christ. O Lord, we do desire it. Let's pray for what we do carry, Lord, as an exercise and desire. Oh, to praise redeeming love. Oh, when souls are favoured to know it, to know and taste redeeming love. Lord, all their great debt paid. Oh, their debt absolved, put away. Their sins put away, atoned for, blotted out. This is what they need, Lord. Oh, that souls here may know this favour. Oh, then they will glorify thee. Oh, we are sure of that, Lord, through personal experience. Oh, when the blessed benefit is known, then they give thee all the glory. Lord, we pray for it, we look for it. We watch and wait thy appearing, Lord, doing these things for us, among us in the churches, among thy people here. Lord, thou knowest how we carry a concern, a burden even day by day, for the friends here at Swaversey. They may be surprised to hear us say this, or to acknowledge it in prayer, but we do carry a burden for thy cause and interest here, even day by day. Thou knowest how particularly we carry a burden for them, because we have anxiety for them. Oh, that thou mightest not turn thy back on them. Oh, that thou mightest not withdraw from them and leave them. Lord, thou knowest our burden. Thou knowest our continuing exercise for them. And thou knowest all about it, Lord. Oh, Lord, do show them thy will. Show them the way. Teach them. Oh, may they know royal concern to seek to know and do thy will. As a people and individually, Lord, be with them. Oh, Lord, do come and favour them. It's quite a time now since the pool was opened. Thou knowest those that were wonderfully constrained by thy love. We had part of the witness of it, Lord. And thou knowest all things regarding this. And Lord, how we look and watch and wait still, that Zion's offspring might come and tell of thy love. O Lord, we're concerned for them in these ways, as we are other causes too, and their own cause back home. Oh, thou knowest the inroads of Satan, thou knowest the craft of the enemy, and how, Lord, the enemy working on the carnal mind and in the carnal heart of poor souls, and how the carnal mind takes different ways and different objects she surveys. But, oh, Lord, to be under grace, to be in the fear of the Lord, to be led by the Spirit, not to want our own will, our own way, but to seek thy way, thy will. Oh, to want to see thee gone before us. Oh, to want thee to show the way, to lead us on. Lord, thou knowest how we've heard of our dear friend, the editor of our magazine, preaching upon those words, the forerunner has forth-entered. Oh, Lord, we do trust we know that. Seek to know it and have light upon it in the favour of it. But, Lord, too, oh, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Oh, Lord, do show the way. Still lead on, Lord, and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray this individually and for thy peoples gathered in the Kilses, the little hills of Zion. Oh Lord, we think of all those we have that need to write to reply to the little causes up and down across the land. Help us, Lord, in this, and to do thy will, to be where they would have us. Oh, Lord, if it be thy will to spare us to continue in the work. Lord, do be with thy servants at this time. Grant all needed help and wisdom and understanding, the leading of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, to want to and seek to do thy will. Lord, oh, not go our own way. And Lord, oh, those that thou hast recently sent forth into the work, we bless thee for this. Prosper them, Lord, help them, make them a blessing, use them in thy holy name. And those thou hast appointed yet for the work, oh, may the time appear when they must go forth. Oh, Lord, oh, thou knowest we do continue to pray that thou wilt send forth more labourers into the harvest. We look on the fields now at this time of the year, see the ripening crops. But oh, how through the year, and how it was in our own case, we was looking on the fields. Thy word says they are white, ready for harvest. And Lord, the harvest is plenteous, the labours are few. And thou hast commanded us that we should pray that the Lord of the harvest should send forth more labourers into his harvest. Lord, oh, do appear for this and thrust them forth. Oh, Lord, it's what thou dost purpose in thy will that must be done. Oh, Lord, save us from the stumbling blocks of man, the stumbling blocks that can be in the way. Oh, stumbling blocks to pray for it, to look for it, to watch for it. Stumbling blocks to stop us seeking to know and do thy will. Lord, the devil, the great archenemy, he who blocks up the way, he who stops up the path when the Lord's people must go forward. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the hindrances, even the hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Lord, hear us for all our concerns. Thou knowest all our deep thoughts, that we carry much. Lord, hear us for it. And oh, we pray, Lord, that the little hills of Zion might still be prospered. Some of them are very low and few in numbers. Lord, we do look for thy work to appear in quickening dead sinners into life. We carry much concern for the young and rising race, Lord. Oh, the dear young children and young people here before thee, who know if we are concerned for their souls. Oh, Lord, do quicken them into life. Oh, if it be thy will, manifest them as thine. May they be brought forth from the womb of the covenant by thy quickening grace. By being born again, born of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, those words thou didst give through John, in the record of them, thy words, ye must be born again. Oh, Lord, may we have the witness that this and that one is born again, born in Zion. Lord, do let thy work appear. And oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt go on to be gracious and bless souls. Some have been in affliction, Lord. Some of the younger friends too, Lord, thou knowest their experiences, what they pass through. Lord, thou knowest how we've considered this afternoon the words of the psalmist Moses in that prayer of Moses in the 90th Psalm. And Lord, that affliction acknowledged there. And Lord, that favour wrought and brought from it, out from it. And Lord, oh, that blessed, wonderful concluding verse. Oh, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands upon us. the work of our hands established in it. Not our work, what we think we can do, but what thou hast done, and what thou dost give us to do in praise, to render praise, to honour thee, Lord, to show forth thy praise, this work of our hands too. Oh, to bless thee, to praise thee, to point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. So do grant it, Lord, to souls who have come through affliction and tribulation and they have sanctified it, used it and taught them in it. Bring forth those things of the gold of thy grace in praise, honour and glory of thee. Lord, work in these ways. Oh, we beg, Lord, be with us now. We cannot multiply words more. But we do, especially at this time, remember our two dear young friends with us who are coming nearer and nearer to the time of their marriage. Oh, they know with their heart's desire for them that on their marriage day they might blessedly feel thy divine approval. Oh, that we might all feel it. Oh, that we might be favoured in any involvement we may be involved in, take part in, that we feel that blessed approval of the Lord our God. Oh, and the love of God, the love of Christ may be felt. Oh, the presence of the Lord. Oh, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Bless them, Lord. Favour them. Go before them in every step. Lead them, Lord. Oh, favour them with thy presence. Oh, how blessed it is. Lord, we beg this for them. And for the families. I know with the family concerns and the exercise that dear parents carry. Lord, be with them. Wonderfully help them. May they know that sweet feeling of thy approval. This is what we need. Oh, hear us for all our friends up and down across the land. And oh, Lord, thou knowest, we would pray for all thy people, many we do not know, but thou dost know them all. They were said they will be inquired of for them. And we would pray in love for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, that thy blessed favour may be known even tonight. Even in this evening hour of thy day, although we know parts of the world are not yet in the evening hour, but some parts are far into the night. But thou art everywhere. Thou art omnipresent. And so we beg, Lord, for all thy people, that thy dear people may know thy blessed love and favour and enjoy salvation full and free. We beg with the pardon of our every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1077. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only thou the way canst show. Thou canst save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. 1077. Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some verses in the second of the portions that we read in Romans, the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, and naming simply for our text the 13th verse. Looking, we hope, at some of these things here that the Lord, through the dear Apostle Paul, speaks. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The friends who were present this morning know we were led to solemnly acknowledge how sinful and wretched we are, how we feel it, how we're so prone to wander, how we have trouble through many changes. We cannot keep ourselves. We are so prone to wander and to leave the God we love. We are troubled and afflicted in our own folly, and we are often feeling the sad desertion that our Lord has left us. We do not feel his sacred presence as we long to know it and know it more. Sin separates God's people from their God, their love. And God is grieved, and he deals with us in love and faithfulness to correct us and chastise us. We considered these things this morning, friends, the friends here now. And coming to the point where we hope we could begin to see some light and favour of the wonderful reality of the love of God, that God does not leave his people, but he corrects them, he chastens them, and it's all in love and mercy to give them an expected end. And look, the way the Lord works is in dealing with us as with sons and daughters, to make us right and keep us right. But the great grief we feel in times of being brought to repentance and to cry to God like David did, as we were looking at the scripture and the truth in that 51st Psalm. You know, oh, how we are brought to earnestly need and desire the Lord to so restore unto us the joy of his salvation. He said in his prayer, his praise, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, visit me with thy free spirit. And some of you here tonight need this. And well, is it not in the reality of it? You are calling upon the name of the Lord. This is the reality of it. And if we are helped to consider some of these things here, how the Lord speaks here in his word, how he gave to the dear Apostle Paul this truth and understanding and the reality of it in his own experience, that he could testify, he could speak and write in these ways the truth as he knew it, tasted, handled and felt it. And by experience he knew that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know this is in the context of where the dear apostle had been considering how that, in a sense, the Lord had, as it were, rejected the Jews. And we know in the former chapter there is much of that, and solemn things set forth there of how the Jews, with a legal religion, they had not attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. He very, very faithfully and clearly states how, even bearing in mind what Isaiah saith in the prophecy, he speaks of how the people were in self-righteousness and were not brought to submit themselves unto the righteousness which is of God by faith. And he speaks very solemnly toward the end of the chapter, where he speaks of them stumbling, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Oh friends, I hope there's none of you here tonight stumbling at that stumbling stone. Oh, I hope there's none of you tonight have got a legal religion which has not got any faith in Christ in it. I hope you are not in a religion which is a profession of religion which you think you'll be all right in. You think you're doing what's right and living a careful life, and you've got a legal belief that you'll be accepted by God because you don't do anything wickedly outwardly. But you would have heard me speak this morning concerning heart sins, and how that heart sins are no smaller, no less than outward sins in God's sight. You know, we're guilty sinners before a holy God, and unless sin is pardoned, we've got no hope of salvation. Unless we know our sins forgiven, we've got no hope of eternal life. Oh, we stumble at this stumbling stone if we are trusting in our own selves and our own religion and our profession of it and our careful life to be able even outwardly to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, we may be able to carefully live in and think that we shall be accepted of God in that. We won't. We stumble at the stumbling stone. We even stumble at the stumbling stone, which is Christ, because we don't really feel our need of Christ. We don't really feel our need of an interest in his holy, precious blood he shed at Calvary. If we're legally minded, if we've got a religion, the religion of the Pharisee, oh, how they were rejected. Oh, there they were rejected by God. They were not saved by grace. They didn't know grace. They didn't know an interest in the favour of God. They didn't know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. But oh, here we read in the last verse, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offence, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. See the vital, vital import of this, friends, being brought by grace to believe on Christ. He who is a stumbling stone to many, and a rock of offence to many, but to his people, very precious, the one thing needful, the only Saviour. Oh, how is he to you? What think you of Christ? Oh, is he precious to you? Is he your only hope? Is he your transport and your trust? Oh, is he your all in all? Friends, I say these things, I hope, faithfully and in love. You do not want to be left, oh, you might want to be left according to your own wicked heart and natural desires, but you know, I would say it solemnly in a pointed way. It's a very solemn thing to be left to have a religion which is only got the stamp of it, of being a person living a careful, right life. Not that I would want to prompt you to live in any wrong things. But you know, we mentioned it in that way, reminding you of those words of the psalmist in the 107th Psalm. How we read there in the 7th verse, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And I said, and I know it and feel it and believe it and solemnly must preach it. You know, this right way is not a legal way. It's that way following the Lamb. It's that way the Lord's appointed for you. It's that way the holy prophets went. The road that leads from banishment, the King's highway of holiness, and the child of God, drawn by the Spirit, taught of the Spirit, will say, I'll go for all her paths of peace. Oh, do you know? This is the way I long have sought. Mourn because I found it not, my grief, my burden, long has been because I could not cease from sin. And so, friends, coming to the word we've named as a text before you tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those Pharisees, those self-righteous Pharisees, didn't call upon the name of the Lord. But there are some of you here, poor, wretched, and you feelingly how deserving sinners. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. You do call upon the name of the Lord. It's blessedly, wonderfully sweet to hear poor sinners calling upon the name of the Lord. Those of us who know by experience the favours that we've received from God, through God by His Spirit exercising us to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, when we hear our dear fellow brethren and sisters in the faith, not so much the sisters, but we know in secret prayer they do. But when we know they pray and call upon the name of the Lord, when we know their exercise is to call upon the name of the Lord, we feel the favour of a sacred pleasantness, of acknowledging that these souls are the souls that Christ will bless. These are the souls that the Lord will restore. These are the souls that the Lord will save. He'll save them from all of Satan's wiles and snares and all the malice that he bears. He'll save them from the rocks and shelves and save them from themselves. Save them from world and flesh and devil. Save them from sin and death and hell. He will save them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I often think of those sacred lines. His name as Jesus suits us well. He saves from sin, wrath, law and hell. From guilt and slavish fear. A name just suited to our case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. Oh, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Oh, to call upon the name of the Lord. His name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We intimated to you, we will look a little at some of these verses here. The ninth verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There are believing Jews. There are some. And it's God's mighty grace that arrests them. It's God's mighty grace that has worked in them. Made them different to what they were. Saved them from the legal bondage of the Jewish race. Saved them from their dead religion. Brought them to be true believers. A wounded soul, but not a whole, becomes a true believer. Oh, how wonderful it is. Oh, there's no difference. Oh, the same Lord over all. He's rich For there is no difference. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Jew and Gentile it means. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon them, upon him. Oh, he's rich in mercy. He makes known the riches of his grace. Oh, he favours his people with the favour of all the wonders of redeeming love, to know and taste them, to know and taste redeeming love. This is what the Lord favours his people with. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of these characters? Can you truly say you call upon the name of the Lord? Is it so because the Spirit has so worked in you to give you to feel your need, to make you know your sad, solemn, desperate case? Oh, to know and feel your woe. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? Sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. To such as these the Lord was sent. They're only sinners who repent. Do you know it? Do you know grief? Grief, deep inward grief over your sinning. Do you feel it? Do you feel it solemnly as you consider your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? You feel solemnly your sins are against him, against his love and blood. This will bring you close. This will make you deeply, solemnly consider, and deep repentance will melt your soul if you deeply feel this. Oh, that sin, there's no little sin. There's no light sin. There's no small sin. Oh, it's a solemn thing to be a sinner. You feel it. You've got a malady. You've got great grief, you feel, because you're a sinner. You know how David was. And oh, how it speaks of it at the heading, which I won't quote now, but you know the heading above the psalm. How he had sinned, and how he had so grieved the Lord. But how kind in love and mercy God was to send Nathan to him. And even how kind God was to him in saying, through Nathan, thou art the man. Oh, setting forth that picture of that sad character who had done what he'd done. And then Nathan said, thou art the man. Oh, if God says to you, thou art the man, thou art the sinner. Cuts deep into your conscience. Oh, then you know your sin is against your Lord, your God. And oh, how deeply then you feel that grief and sorrow. Deep repentance melts the heart. And oh, but you can call. You do call. You have to call. You're compelled to flee from all your wrath and curse to the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is. Wonder of wonders it is that the Lord is ready to forgive. He hears the groans of his people. He's ready to hear, ready to forgive. Oh, so such a Saviour is our Lord and Saviour. Oh, so ready to hear, so ready to forgive. Oh, and he can forgive us of all our sins. He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, what a favour, friends. You know, when we're in the depths and real anxiety of soul trouble, we do not tend to see in light and favour the wonderful favour it is to be one of those who calls upon the name of the Lord. If the Lord help you, may it be your favour to, though you feel to be dark and far off and in a desperate state, may it be your favour as the beginning of the lightening of your soul. May it be your favour to consider and to know and understand the favour you are actually already in and already feeling. The favour that you're in calling upon the name of the Lord. Oh, there was one who penned a hymn. I don't and wouldn't consider a question that person standing, but you know, it's repeated, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Now, I don't want to speculate or use that in a wrong way, but you know the favour of it, to be a praying soul. You know, there's one sweet couplet that I've proved. To praying souls he always grants more than they can express. I proved that a few times in my experience. Especially I proved it when I was praying for the pardon of my sins. I come to the place of earnest exercise and prayer and importunity before the throne of grace, begging the Lord to forgive my sins, to favour me to know his pardoning love. And the time came in his holy will when he blessed me with that wonderful favour. My sins all put away, but also he clothed me in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, granted me so much more than what I'd actually been begging for. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from your sin, saved from sin and death and hell, saved from gloomy black despair, saved from the awful insinuations of Satan and the tempter, his craft and all his power, saved in every way, saved. This word saved means saved. It means fully saved, completely saved. It means, I believe, fully blessed. It means favoured under God's favour. Blessed, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let me ask you something pointedly. Do you believe this? Are you being favoured to begin to feel the favour of this, of the restoring to you, some of you, of real true believing? Oh, this is a vital point, you know. It is. Oh, to believe we shall have the petitions we ask of the Lord. This is so important. As I did read before you just now, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And is it not this in the reality of it? You are brought by grace to believe in all what Christ has done. Oh, you believe in him as that one who has come into the world to save sinners. You believe in him who sacrificed himself, who laid down his life, who suffered even unto death, even the death of the cross. You believe in him whom we've read of in the 53rd of Isaiah. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You believe in him who laid down his life, was laid in the tomb. You believe in him who rose triumphant after the power of an endless life. The grave couldn't hold him. He burst the gates of death. He rose triumphant o'er the grave. He gained the victory through his glorious resurrection o'er the grave. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in him. Do you believe in him as such? That's the clear points of the ninth verse here. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess, this word confess in this sense means if thou shalt say thou dost know him and believe in him, that thou dost see him as your all in all, that he is made to you so precious This is the way this word confess. The word confess is sometimes used in a context telling of, testifying of. If thou shalt confess, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You see, because if we are able, truly able to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe it means in this way, it comes from the heart. What God has done in us, what God has taught us, what God has worked in us by the Spirit. If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this is no kind, not at all any kind of easy believing. This is true believing. This is what is worked in a soul by the operation of the Spirit. And this is what is worked by the operation of the Spirit, because God loves this soul. God's love is set upon such characters that he works in them by his Spirit. And he teaches them deep in their hearts. Christ is made so precious to them. And they believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Oh, they believe in all what Christ is and what he's done. They believe in the gift of the Father. They believe in this, that God hath raised him from the dead. It was the power of God the Father that raised the Son from the dead, that he is Son of God from the dead. Oh, the power of God raised him. He rose by the power of an endless life. Oh, the power of God, Jehovah, was the power behind and under the glorious resurrection of Christ. Oh, God hath raised him from the dead. And God hath raised him from the dead for a vital, important purpose for the Church of God, that his dear people, that the dear, all the whole dear family of God might be favoured to have an interest in the death of Christ and in his glorious resurrection. They might know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death, if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, do you know it? Do you feel that blessed favour of being in the secret of this sacred, blessed knowledge and understanding of the truth, what God has so worked in you and burnt in you? You know it in your experience, you know it. And believe it by faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know, friends. And when I think of this and consider this, my mind goes to our dear friend Mr. Rosier, Mr. Tim Rosier. As we've had conversations on this sacred subject, especially at a time when there was much controversy among our churches, we were led together to acknowledge that our standing, our hope, our fundamental standing in doctrine is, of our most holy faith is, that we have to be brought to know and believe in our Lord as the Lord, our righteousness. You know, this is most vital for your soul salvation, friends. That you are brought by God's grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord, our righteousness. To you to know it and me to know it personally. Oh, the Lord, our righteousness. That my breaches of the law were his, and his obedience mine. That he's paid the price, sacrificed himself, paid our great debt. But also that he's brought in everlasting righteousness for us. So that washed from sin in his precious holy blood, and clothed in his righteousness by faith, We are so blessed to stand faultless before the throne of God. This is all our hope. This is how souls are saved. This is the only way they can be saved. This is the way of salvation. These are the wonders of redeeming love. Such is the love of God to sinners. They are bought with a price. They are saved by sovereign grace. They are saved through the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, for if with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. I believe I can say honestly, friends, that I am not ashamed of Jesus, and it does mean that in one angle of it. But this shall not be ashamed. I believe this, not be wanting in God's tremendous day, not find out at last we're out of the secret, not come to the judgment day and be found wanting, but be blessedly favoured to be standing in Christ, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. We shall not be ashamed. Whoso ever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. No, they are blessed, they are saved, they are in God's sight justified. They are to be thus accepted in the beloved. They are to be found in heaven at last. They are to go home through him that loved them and gave himself for them. For the scripture saith, whoso ever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, I can tell you that if you are brought to know blessedly the favour of God in these ways, you will have and be given and carry an accountability, a desire to live unto his praise. As you journey on to sweetly sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways, you're travelling home to God in the way that fathers trod. They are happy now, and we soon their happiness shall see, to have in prospect that favour. We shall not be ashamed. We shall be home in heaven at last. You know, the solemn point is brought to us to consider how we are now and how we are behaving, how we are living in the Church of God. Oh, any of you here who know, known and tasted redeeming love, I must put it to you in love and faithfulness. Art thou ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom thy hopes of heaven depend? You know, it is a solemn searching thing to me that sometimes when we're out in the world, and this is the awfulness, the treachery of our old human nature. Do we, and I'm only bringing these points to you for you to consider, and I have to consider them. Do you try to avoid reproach when you're in the world? You hope you're in the world but not of the world. But you know the treachery of our old human nature is that try to be a bit like the world so we don't get looked upon as a spectacle. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. It has at times really searched me lately. So that as God gives me strength and grace, I want the world to know who I love and serve. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He's my best beloved. My Lord, my life, my all. And before you, friends here, I say these things that the dear spirit might exercise you. Oh, that we might have a desire to welcome shame. All hail reproach and welcome shame. If thou, O Lord, be mine. Oh, how blessedly it's put in one of the epistles. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. Oh, to know that and be exercised in that and to be willing to lay life down for him, to part with all, to follow him. Oh, make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. At last be where my Jesus is, and rise to everlasting bliss. If the dear spirit's working here tonight to exercise some of you in these ways, you will know real profit, real favour. You will know the blessed love of God and approval of God. Oh, to be accepted in the beloved. The Father accepts his dear children and his beloved Son. They are brought into that closeness of fellowship with God through the mediator's blood. They are brought into that favour of that blessed nearness, brought nigh by the blood of Christ, into that blessed liberty that we were preaching to you of last week. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Oh, it comes to calling upon the name of the Lord. God give an exercise. The grace of God in exercise to cause you to earnestly, urgently call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save or I perish. Hold down me up and I shall be saved. Oh, like Peter on the water, Lord, save or I perish. Oh, how you feel it. Oh, how important it is. Nothing is more important. All the things of your natural life, they figure very small compared to this. Oh, this vital, important matter of your soul's salvation, to know my Jesus crucified by fire excels all things beside. The dear spirit so working in you to put everything in a right perspective in your understanding. Not now left to be like that sad character who pulled down his barns to build bigger, but to live humbly, walk humbly before your God. The apostle says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. But oh, not to be content in that state of feeling far off from God, but longing for the Lord to return, praying earnestly for it. And when the dear Lord does return, the holy joy that fills the heart, oh, that restoring of the joy of God's salvation, the upholding with the blessed free spirit of God. Oh, the favour of the Lord's presence. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In his presence all affliction I can easily endure. To have this favour. The way of God is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This blessed favour of calling and gaining an access, gaining God's ear. And it is by faith. It is by the teaching and leading and exercise of the Spirit. It's because God loves these souls. If you're one of these characters who calls upon the name of the Lord out of great need, out of earnest need, the Lord loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he will come again. He will restore thee. He will bless thee. He will set thee free. I'm sure of it. I can witness it through personal experience. It's in the Word of God. It's God's truth. He will never leave his people. He will never lose one. Oh, they must and shall believe. They must and shall be found with God at last in heaven. It's sure, it's certain. It's in the holy bedrock truth of God. Yes, it is. That all God's sheep shall come to Zion. Beasts of prey and roaring lion. None shall pluck them. None shall pluck them from the strength of Israel's hands. All that Satan does and what's going on in your wicked heart. It cannot keep you from the Saviour's love. The Lord must appear to save you. Oh, how we feel it. How we feel the need of that restoring. But oh, how in according to the truth of God, the Lord will hear. He will come again. He will restore. He will favour his people again. He'll favour them to know that they are saved, that they are safe. They're going to heaven. They're going to be with him forever in eternal glory. This is the prospect sure and certain for the dear people of God who are called by grace and taught of the Spirit. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pack next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 28. Blessed Spirit of Truth, Eternal God, thou meek and lowly dove, who fillest the soul through Jesus' blood, with faith and hope and love. Hymn number 28.
Dear Lord, do forgive and blot out anything that was seen amiss this day. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. O continue with thy people here, thou knowest their desire for them. And O may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us. Amen.